In the classroom one day, a little girl was talking to her teacher about all the creatures that lived in the sea, and the subject of whales came up, and she immediately went to the story of Jonah. And now we know that the Bible doesn't say it was a whale, it was a great fish, but we know how that story has been told over the years. But the little girl said, yes, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. The teacher says, no, that couldn't happen. They are very, very large animals. They're the largest animals on the face of the earth. But they have very small throats, and there's no way that a whale could swallow a human being. The teacher kept insisting that. The little girl kept insisting that that Jonah had been swallowed by the whale. Finally, the little girl ended the conversation by saying, well, I'll just ask Jonah when I get to heaven. Well, the teacher said, trying to initiate thinking and thought from her students, said, what if Jonah's not in heaven? The little girl said, then you can ask him. For that little girl, it was simply a matter of faith. For the people in Jesus' home country of Nazareth, it was much the same. It was a matter of faith, or a lack of faith in their case. Now, let's look at the setting. John, can you put the map up there for me? Now, y'all know I like maps. And I've got my little laser pointer. I like that. The setting kind of for this story here, for this situation for Jesus to come back to Nazareth, to his hometown. Jesus had been ministering in the Capernaum area over on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. If we go back to Matthew and kind of correlate the story in Mark with Matthew, this would be right after Jesus had given the Sermon on the Mount. So he was tired. It was after that he said, let's go across to the other side. We know that story. Well, he had left Capernaum, and he had went somewhere over here in this area over here on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And over here on that side, he had encountered the Gadarene demoniac, the one who had a legion of demons in him. And you know that story. He was naked, living in the tombs, and hundreds of demons possessed him. It was in that area there. Jesus healed him, cast those demons out, and he went into the region of the Decapolis to tell about Jesus, telling what Jesus had done for him. After that, Jesus went back across the sea, and most of the commentaries I have read say that he went back to the area of Capernaum. Now, I didn't see that written in the Scripture. I don't know if I missed something somewhere, but I couldn't exactly found that. But they said he went back across, and then there, he encountered, in that area there somewhere, he encountered two more people, or two more situations, that was really interesting. As he was there, a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, came to him and said that his daughter was laying in the bed about to die. Could he come and help? Well, Jesus immediately headed in that direction. But also, as he was going in that direction and the crowds were pressing upon them, there was an interesting thing happened. A woman reached out and touched him who had an issue of blood. She was a bleeder, and this had been going on for many years. She believed, she had faith that Jesus could heal her, and he didn't even need to have to say anything to her. He didn't need to even lay hands on her, that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, then she would be healed. Well, people are pressed all up in the crowd. You can imagine being in a big crowd like at the fair or at the downtown, when they're having some kind of festival, Belshare or something, and the crowds are just pressing all around you, and all of a sudden Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples look around, it's like, "What are you talking about? Everybody, is pushing and bumping against each other. How can we possibly say who touched you?" And he said, "Well, I felt something. I felt power go out. I felt it go away from my body, out of my body." And the woman fessed up that she had reached out and touched him and told. And he said, "Your faith has made you whole." Well, they head on toward Jairus' house. They get word on the way there that there's no use bothering the teacher anymore, that your daughter has died. But he said, "Oh yes," says, "we're going on," says, "you're going to want to see this. You know, this is, you're going to like what's going to happen here." He goes on. Of course, we know the story. He goes in and he puts everybody out. Only takes James, John, and Peter with him. And he goes in and he says to the little girl, "Talitha kumi," which means arise, sit up, stand up and arise, and walk. And she stood up at his command. It was the faith of those two people. It was the faith of that woman just to touch Jesus' garment that made her whole. It was the faith of Jairus to go to Jesus, this kind of fly-by-night rabbi who had been a carpenter's son. You know, he didn't have the pedigree. He didn't have the education. But yet he, being a ruler of the synagogue, you know, he risked a lot going to see Jesus. He risked being ostracized by the other members of the community and maybe even losing his position as a leader, as a ruler in the synagogue. Yet he went to Jesus. He had faith. And the faith was what happened. Faith is what enabled both of those miracles to happen. Now Jesus leaves the area of Capernaum. It says he goes from there and goes to his home country. Right there's Nazareth. Nazareth is about 20 miles from Capernaum. About 20-mile trip. It's about a day's journey in that day and time. Now, Jesus, it says, went to his home region. So it could have been anywhere in that immediate area there of Nazareth that he went to. But there's little that could happen there. There's little that went on in Jesus' presence there. Wonder why. Why? What was the difference from the mighty acts that he had performed in the region of the Decapolis on the eastern bank of the Sea of Galilee and the area around Capernaum and Nazareth? What was the difference in those areas? You see, these people in Jesus' home territory there around Nazareth were filled with uncertainty and doubt. They had a lack of faith. Now, it's not because they had doubts about His power or His teaching or His wisdom, because the Scripture says right out front that they recognized those qualities in Him. But these people are filled with a tremendous amount of uncertainty, even though they acknowledged the fact that His teaching was from God, and that His wisdom is outside the possibility of human understanding, that His works were mighty, they couldn't dispute. Yet, they didn't believe. They lacked faith. Why? For the people of Nazareth, it just didn't fit in. Something just didn't fit. You see, they had been around when Jesus was a boy. They had been around when he had been a child. They saw Him grow up. They knew His family. They knew His mother. They were on first-name basis with the people in His family. He was a carpenter, and He was the son of a carpenter. They heard His teaching. They acknowledged His wisdom. They witnessed the miracles. Yet they couldn't turn loose of what the wisdom of the world was telling them. And that was telling them that He couldn't be any different from them. They just couldn't turn loose of that wisdom, have faith, and believe. We're not a lot different today, 2,000 years later, are we? We hear teachings like, love your enemy, turn the other cheek, forgive 70 times 7, as much as it takes. We hear wisdom like, to be greatest, you have to be least. We see miracles like lives being transformed, turned around. We see people being so very generous and giving in times of disaster and personal need by people around them. And this just doesn't fit in with our natural worldly understanding, and it never will, without looking at things through the eyes of faith. It's not enough to acknowledge the teachings of Christ. It's not enough to say, yeah, that's pretty smart. That's wisdom beyond any wisdom I've ever heard. We can't just acknowledge that Jesus has power. It's not enough to do those things. It has to become personal. We have to invest something. And that's what faith is about, is investing who we are and totally trusting in Jesus. I was reading somewhere where in a African nation, missionaries had went in to translate the Bible into their native tongue. And they had to learn their tongue. They had to grasp it fully. You know, had to live among them before they could actually do this effectively. Well, the word for faith in that particular language didn't accurately relate what faith really meant. And these missionaries had struggled with that, but they hadn't come up on it. And one of the elders in the tribe came in and said, you know, this is not a good word. And told him, says, this is the word that would be better. And it was the word in their native tongue that meant put your whole weight upon. That's what faith is about. Not relying on me, not relying on you, but relying on Christ. It's an interesting thing, too, when we look at this passage, that verse 5 says that Jesus couldn't do very many mighty works there. He said he just laid his hands on a few sick people, but that was about it. It actually says that he could do no mighty works. Now the question that I have when I read that, does that mean that he couldn't do it or that he just wouldn't do it? When I looked in the Greek, it seems to indicate that Jesus was unable to do them. The Greek word that's used there means that he was unable to do that. Now, I'm not going to argue the fact that God can do anything because he can. But you know, the God we serve, the God who created us, the God who loves us, and God who gave us Jesus, doesn't force Jesus on us. He doesn't force salvation on us. He gives it to us freely through his grace. And it means that we have to accept it. When we don't invite Christ in, he will not force his way into our life. You know the famous painting that goes along with the passage, you know, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You know, there's an interesting thing on that painting. Jesus is standing there at the door. But on the door, there is no means by which anyone can get in from the outside. There's no doorknob or door latch, as it would be. It has to be opened from the inside. For Jesus to come into our lives, we have to open ourselves from the inside. I have to let him in. You have to let him in. God does not force himself on us. So what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do then when he was unable to do any mighty works there among his own people? Did he write them off as lost, without any hope? Did he condemn them? No, he didn't do any of those things. He went among the villages teaching, the Scripture says. Verse 6 says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief, then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." Jesus taught the people there, even in the midst of their unbelief. He didn't give up. Interesting thing about the words there in that passage says that he went about teaching in a circuit. The actual Greek word that's used there, that's translated circuit here in this passage, the King James Version, I believe, says he went round about teaching. It's the actual Greek word for circle. Think about that. What's the significance of a circle? Jesus went round about, went teaching in a circle. What is some of the words that are spoken at the marriage ceremony when rings are exchanged? These rings are round in a symbol, symbolizing that, you know, they have no beginning, no end, that they are continuous, that love will be continuous. Jesus, I think the Scripture is telling us there that Jesus never gave up on those people. He continued in a circle, never ending, teaching those folks, trying to share with them the good news that he was bringing to them, even though they may have rejected him. Folks, we need not ever give up. That is not part of who we're called to be, to give up. Jesus was sowing seeds there in his homeland, among his brothers and sisters, among his kinfolk and his neighbors. He was sowing seed for a future harvest. And we know that harvest was plentiful. That harvest was fruitful. Jesus' brother James, later we know, became the head of the Jerusalem church. His brother, his very brother, who most likely was one of them who didn't understand, who didn't believe, who didn't grasp who he really was. Jesus' efforts were not in vain. They bore fruit. That's our call today, to be faithful to Jesus' teaching and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Even in the midst of people's unbelief, we should never ridicule. We should never wash our hands of them and write them off. We should, in a meek and humble way, teach them through the way we live our lives and teach them about how it means to be a follower of Jesus. We sow seeds for another's harvest. Jesus never gave up. He never gave up on anyone. He never gave up on you, or He hasn't given up on you. Neither should we, because it's a matter of faith. Let's pray. Father, we honor You today with just opening ourselves to You and allowing You to work in our lives. Lord, may it be all about You, nothing about us. And may you give us faith and increase our faith to measures beyond our imagination. Lord, we trust You with everything. Lord, we come to You now and just offer ourselves to You, even though we may not understand. Even though things may seem hopeless. Even though we may think we can't do it. Lord, give us the strength. Help us to have faith. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Son. We thank You for His gift to us. In His precious name we pray. Amen.